The 100th Psalm, labeled as the Thanksgiving Psalm, was written for the people of Israel a bazillion years before the first Thanksgiving in America. God had basically said to them, when you come into the promised land and settle down in your warm homes and you have plenty to eat, don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness and I brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. But it doesn't take long to realize that the people of Israel needed a reminder to be thankful. What about us? We may need a reminder, not unlike the Israelites. To whom is Psalm 100 addressed? The first verse says that it's addressed to all the earth. The last verse says that it includes all generations. So God did have us in mind when this psalm was written. Our amazing God knew that we too needed reminders to be thankful. Psalm 100 is the most likely scripture pastors use in their messages around Thanksgiving. So how, where, and when did the first Thanksgiving holiday begin anyway? It started out as a way for the pilgrims to thank God for a bountiful harvest, but it wasn't called Thanksgiving. We all remember, don't we, when we were in school and we'd have to color those pictures of the pilgrims, or we'd have to wear those crazy hats that made us look like we were pilgrims. And it would just lead up then to the day of Thanksgiving. Then around 1865, President Lincoln declared it a holiday to encourage people to pray on the healing of the nation during the Civil War. And now it seems it's all about eating and football games. What does the word Thanksgiving mean? It is defined as a prayer expressing gratitude. The sad thing is, if you look at people today, even Christians, it seems that we are hardly thankful about anything. However, Thanksgiving is something we really need. We need it every day, and often several times a day. Thanksgiving is a gift, just like our faith, from God for our well-being. Giving thanks to God puts everything else in our life in the right perspective, even when bad things happen to us. Psalm 100 is a hymn that was sung while entering the temple and probably was done in connection with some sort of a Thanksgiving ceremony. Let's scan the first five verses of the psalm. In verse 1, we find the name of the Lord. In verse 2, we find the name of the Lord. In verse 3, we find the name of the Lord. In verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And in verse 5, we see, for the Lord is good and love, his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So what is the basis of our thanksgiving? Plain and simple. The Lord, God Almighty. Alex Haley, the author of the book Roots, had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. And it was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. Someone said to him, "Why is that there?" And Alex Haley answered this way, "Every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful, and I begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on top of the fence post, and I remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help." Have you had help to get you to where you are? I know I certainly have. Where would I be without the help of the Lord, without the grace of the Lord, without the forgiveness of the Lord, without the empowerment I'm given every day, without the faithfulness of the Lord? Verse 3 instructs us, Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now, where would we be? I know in the Bible talks of a lifespan of 70. That would equal 70. So for most of us here, we would not be sitting in this place. We would be at the cemetery. The Lord has been so good to us. Where were we before we accepted that the Lord is our God and not any other thing? You might be one that says, I always knew God. I always knew God. I was born knowing God. I was raised knowing it. Perhaps you are one who says you don't ever remember making a declaration that God is the Lord of your life. I was raised in the church, Christian school educated, yet I was in my late 30s before accepting God as the Lord of my life and God's Son as my Savior. I thought of myself as such a sinner that I never thought I could be forgiven. I went down to more altar calls at the Youth for Christ downtown on Saturday nights than anyone else. I had no acceptance of being unconditionally loved and forgiven by God. So what is it? What about you? Before the Lord became your God, what ruled you? Shame really ruled me. Was it fear? Pride? Status? Who was your God before you accepted God as the Lord of your life? To know that God is our Lord, the Lord of our lives, well, that, my friends, is the most important thing that we can ever discover. Money should not be our God. Popularity should not be our God. Status should not be our God. Nice home or car or beautiful clothes, they should not be our gods. Good health. Well, most of us here are totally aware that good health fades along with our youth and physical strength. We know that if we put our whole life thinking that our friends are most important to us, friends may abandon us. Sin will destroy us. Satan will tempt us. Grief will overcome us so that we can hardly take another breath. But the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. God thought of us while we were still the dust of the earth. God used God's creative energy to make us. And as you look at it, if you're at the point that you look at your newborn grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, how intricate each finger and each toe, certainly a miracle to behold. We are God's creation. Each of us are made so intricately. And God loves us beyond our comprehend to believe. You know, it's so easy for us to say, woe is me. It's so easy that when tragedy and illness strikes, that we blame it on God. Well, you might say, well, Pastor Nan, you don't know my life, and you don't know my physical restrictions, or you don't know my loneliness since my spouse died. You're right. I don't know what's all going on in your life. But we're grateful, first, that we have the medical technology. It's a gift from God. And also, we're grateful for the many years that we had with our loved ones before they passed away. Please allow me to tell you about my grandson, Tyler, and I don't remember if I told you about him the last time I came, but I use him as an example frequently. He was born with a genetic disease called spinal muscular atrophy. And he was given 2 to 3 years to live. At one time, he could sit up by himself. And at one time, he could use both of his arms. But he never crawled, he never walked, he never rode a bike, he never climbed a tree, he never did any of the fun things that kids do. Slowly, he lost any muscle control. He was in his first wheelchair by the age of 2.5. The disease was unpredictable for Tyler. Each year we feared would be our last with him. Tyler is 27 years old. He was given an additional 25 years for us to enjoy him. And only by the grace of God that his life has been spared. As he deteriorated, we knew that we were limited with the time of what we would have him. But also, we came to realize that he could do nothing for himself. Now at this point, he has use of his right hand only. And he can only, it's about just table height of what he can do. But he can work his computer, and he can draw. He is an artist, and he makes a living by sketching for people. He lives his life daily to encourage others. Again, using only his right hand to communicate with others by his computer or by his phone, especially others who are handicapped, such as he, especially others who may be in a wheelchair, and especially others who want to give up because they are that way. And he doesn't just do this in the Grand Rapids area or in Michigan. He does it across the whole country. He even communicates with some that are in another country. He writes many things. One particular thing he wrote, a beautiful thing, was on hugs, how he loves hugs. This is someone who is so loving, and he cannot even give, not even me, his grandmother, a hug. He cannot lift his hands to do that. He also writes things about love. He talks about we need to tell each other that we love each other. And he often, says this to people that are his own age, especially guys who are afraid to tell other guys they love them. And he writes about this, and he expands on how important that is. One of the many things he's written is about not giving up. This is what he wrote. "Personally, life is difficult for me physically. Yes, I live with pain every day and all night, but never do I wish for death because of it. There are too many people I want to meet. There are too many people that I need to see, talk to, spend time with, and too many things I want to do, experience, see, or feel. Chances are there's not even enough time to do it all, but that's why I continually find things I like, things that I can do, and I explore every corner and push every boundary of them. I am going to make sure I see and do everything that I can before it's my time. And no amount of pain or loss will stop me. I don't ever look at my situation as something to overcome. I'm just living. Disabled lives are worth living, every single one, because love wins." Tyler never complained. And all these things that he wants to do, he has done up until this past summer in a GO bus, everywhere he had to go, because we did not have a van. This summer, he has a van from here that his mother can drive him places. You know, it's really easy for us to complain, isn't it? Have you found yourself, like I have, complaining or getting in the habit of demanding our way? Have we ever found that being around someone who complains, they're hard to be around? We don't want to be around them for a very long time. Complainers are often energy zappers, motivation killers. This is a warning. If you spend a lot of time around this kind of person, it becomes contagious, and you can become negative as well. Genetically speaking, my mother, God bless her soul, was a complainer, and I possess her traits. It's not a good thing. I found that complaining robbed me of joy and peace, and others did not want to be around me. It took sincerely asking God to help me to change my attitude. Anytime I started to complain, even in the middle of a sentence, I'd stop. And before long, it became a habit that I didn't complain near as much. Changing my attitude gave me gratitude. And gratitude to God can bring us joy. Do we have joy? Or do we have little spurts of happiness because certain positive things have happened? This joy is a gift that comes to us through the presence of Christ within us, even and especially sometimes in the face of suffering. Does everyone here know the true meaning of joy? You know, how this happens is, I remember one day thinking, really, Nancy, nothing's really exciting or going your way. What is it inside of you? It is something, this joy. It's a profound satisfaction, grounded in the peace of God. So the antidote for complaining is giving thanks. Let's not be complainers, but thankers. By the way, Tyler's favorite holiday, like his deceased dad, who was my son, is Thanksgiving. During this Thanksgiving week, we can be thankful by remembering what God has brought us through in the past. Have you ever get to a point that you think, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. God, this looks like a mountain, but then you remember all the times in the past and everything God did, whether it is illness or tragedy or whatever, depression, anxiety, and God has gotten us through. Imagine the kind of life that we would have had it not been for the grace of God. I can tell you I would not be standing here not only as a pastor, but also alive if it weren't for the grace of God. It is only by the grace of God that we have the good times and the good things that we do have. It's not as if we deserve them. So I ask you, have we received something so wonderful from God that we eagerly want to proclaim it? When people say to me, how did you get through that? I cannot help but say, only by the grace of God. When we come to the point in our lives when we are able to see the truth of the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ, and we surrender our very selves, our wants, even our stash, in order to follow the Lord, and the burden of this life then becomes lifted. Suddenly, when we realize that God has been so good to us, that God loves us so much that we cannot keep it inside any longer, from the depths of our being, we cannot help but shout our joy to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And this, my friends, is the source of our thanksgiving. I pray that all of you will have a most meaningful Thanksgiving week. May our hearts overflow with thanksgiving to the Lord as we meditate on God's word, on God's goodness, on God's love, and God's faithfulness, and remember on a regular basis this week, but also every week, are many things we are thankful for. Remember what you wrote down, and even more that you've now had time to think about it. In the name of Jesus, this is offered. Let us pray. Awesome God, we thank you for our many answered prayers and for the many blessings that you shower down on us daily. And you provide for all of our needs. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ who help us get over those bumps in our Christian lives, praying for us, helping us, whether it be illness, death, or anything else. Thank you for the plan that you have for our lives, a plan for good and not evil. And part of this plan was giving us a Savior. We're thankful that because Jesus died on the cross, we are forgiven and we have the hope of eternal life. Thank you that this life is not the end, and we will be reunited with all those that have gone before us. I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.